CliffCentral.com.
That's right. Right. Yeah. That's right. Winter is definitely here, man. All right, okay. All right, okay. Yeah, that's enough. All right. Winter is definitely here. Oh, my God. I was sitting yesterday afternoon just doing some work and in front of my laptop, and suddenly I thought, oh my God, it's cold. You know when you suddenly realize, and I was wearing warm clothing, but I was sitting there and I suddenly needed a heater or a blanket or something. And I thought, oh, come on. Already? We're at May 14th, man. I don't want to be this cold at May 14th. But then I suddenly realized that that's normal. Usually around this time, you know, people haul out like the extra blanket for the bed and that kind of thing.
It's weird to me that Durban is a wee bit nippy as well.
Yeah,
I was listening to the president yesterday going, okay, can you wrap it up now? I just want to go and get bundled up.
Oh, were you getting chilly at the TV watching Numzan?
So supposedly we should now refer to him as our stepfather.
Oh, is that what we call him?
The nation's real father, of course,
is
Gedlay Hlekisa.
I miss him.
Yeah, so he's our real father. Said, and then, well, this is the stepfather.
You know, I said the other day I want him back, eh? I told you. I keep repeating this. People get very uncomfortable, especially the Karens. I'm telling you, at least we knew what we were dealing with Ubaba. We knew we were dealing with a man who likes money. And here's the thing, right? Like if we, let's say everybody gets taxed between, 20 and 45%, those who are taxable. So somewhere between 20 and 45%. Now, if we took half of that, fully half of it, and we just gave it straight to Jacob, we said, Tim, you can have a full half of our taxes just for you. You can build 28 Nkandlas if you want to. The rest you can pretend to use the way the ANC pretend to use it now to improve the lives of the poor and build schools and, you know, lay on water and sanitation and basic housing and all the things that they promise, but in some places they still haven't delivered after 25 years. You just take half the tax money and give it to Jacob and say to him, that is our corruption allowance. We will. So for those people in the top tax bracket, that's 20% of the money they bring in is going straight to Ujacob. But then the agreement is you leave people alone. Like, you're not allowed to make new rules that encumber people. You're not allowed to pass stupid laws in parliament that interfere with people's rights. And then you can have that 20%. And you can do whatever you want. You'd send it to Dubai. You can bring back the Guptas. Anything you like, right? But don't interfere with ordinary people. Just leave them alone, and they will give you that money. I reckon that would be a good situation because we'd all know what we were in for. You'd raise children and they'd go to school knowing when they work one day that 20% of their money is going to Ubaba. And they just have to accept it. And that's the feudal system we live under. And then Ududuzane could take over after him. And that's how it would be. But at least we'd know what we were in for.
And they'd still be in a presidential role.
Yeah, well, I mean, he could.
And this is above and beyond what we pay them as a salary.
He could have speeches and, you know, sing a song and dance a bit. And he'd be like the Queen in England. She kind of does ceremonial stuff.
So what you're saying isn't ridiculous, by the way.
Thank you.
So in German business, right, it was understood right up until the middle of the noughties, where when you did a business deal at a big level, is you would give the guy a little golden handshake, you might call it.
Are you talking about East Germany here?
No, I'm talking about modern Germany now.
Really?
Like, yeah, into the noughties. It's well known that you give the guy to lubricate the wheels of business.
Yeah, sure, sure. Everybody needs a slice of the pie. I guess.
Yeah. So, but everyone's doing it. So it's not like, oh, he's corrupt. And it was seen as common practice. And when Sepp Blatter got caught, he's a product of that regime of thinking where that was just the normal way of doing business.
Right.
You know, everyone thought, yes, this guy's so corrupt.
And let's be fair. Like, this is what, like, the ANC do. They do this anyway. So we may as well put it out in the open and say, listen, guys.
Make it official.
Yeah, there's a 20% corruption charge on everything. So we all know if you're going to deal with government that you need to put aside 20% for someone to grease the wheels, which people are doing practically anyway. And then we wouldn't be cross because you know what you're in for. If you don't want to deal with government, you don't have to pay the 20% bribe. But if you're doing government work, that's how it works. You just pay the piper, you know? Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. So guess what I did last night, Sia? I was busy researching our new episode of Blind History, which is all about King Charlemagne, which we will record today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was the Dark Ages in Europe, which was because everybody thinks Europe had this glorious history. But really, before medieval Europe, there was the Dark Ages, which where Europe was behind the Muslim world by a large degree. And where learning was pretty much out of the picture. And things just were very dark. It was the Dark Ages. There weren't universities or schools. People were very tribal and barbaric. And it wasn't a great time to be alive in Europe. And they were quite religious, but it was a punishing religion. You know, it was like even good people. Were you know, they had their hair shaved off and they were sent to monasteries if they had any talent, and they weren't allowed to ever have a woman in their life again. And like, it was just this weird, very very puritanical time in some ways.
Oh, because being in like a religious leader was the thing, going to monastery.
It's like the only thing that could have guaranteed you some sort of safety, otherwise you'd be massacred in your village by some warlord. You know, it wasn't a great time. So
it certainly
was. To say the least.
No, it was a horrible time. But I found a quote, and yeah, it shows you how we think we're so evolved today. And in some ways we are, but we take things for granted. So listen to this. This is from the Bible, Sia. Your dad will be able to corroborate the evidence.
I'm sure there's one in here.
This is how they speak. And this is the Bible that is still being circulated, that people still go to church and, you know, use, and they read when they're on their own at home, and they do Bible study groups. And you can see why people aren't paying that much attention to Leviticus 21:18-23. And I'll tell you why. This is how they talk about disabled people.
Sure, sure, sure.
Are you ready? No. I mean, because people think the Bible's this book of really good things. So I just found this and I thought it'd be interesting to reflect upon this in our own form of Bible study this morning. All right.
Should I get on my knees and clasp my hands at this point and close my eyes?
I'm very ready.
Just listen to the word of the Lord. Okay?
All right.
Shower me.
So if you are a God-fearing Jew or Christian or Muslim, these are the words of God. This is not disputable. These are all three in the Pentateuch of the Old Testament, which is the Jewish Bible. It's in the Christian Old Testament, and it's in the Muslim Quran. Okay, this is undisputed. This comes straight from the Lord thy God. Okay, so what he says
God's mouth unto our ears.
Right, this is what he says about disabled people. This is the guy who's in charge of earth.
Or woman,
correct, but highly unlikely, judging by the way judging by the way that they refer to him. Okay. Highly unlikely. You can use whatever filter you'd like right now, but that's probably bullshit because Moses didn't go up there and say, my lady. Okay, so here it is. And she didn't reply going, Moses. She replied, Moses. So unless she was a big bull dyke.
She could have been.
She could have been, but I doubt it. Okay, so here it is. It's the word of the Lord thy God. For no one who has a defect shall approach. A blind man, or a lame man, or he who has a disfigured face, or any deformed limb, or a man who has a broken foot, or broken hand, or a hunchback, or a dwarf, or one who has a defect in his eye, or eczema, or scabs, or crushed testicles. No.
Yep. Oh, okay, sorry.
No man, carry on. Listen to this is important. No man among the descendants of Aaron the priest who has a defect is to come near to offer the Lord's offerings by fire. Since he has a defect, he shall not come near to offer the food to his God. He may eat the food of his God, both of the Most Holy and the Holy of Holies. Only he shall not go into the veil or come near the altar because he has a defect, so that he will not profane my sanctuaries. For I am the Lord who sanctified them. So if you woke up this morning and you have a broken foot or a hunchback, the Lord does not want you near his fucking stuff, okay?
Just testicles.
Crushed testicles. If you woke up this morning and your testicle got caught in the ball socket of your hip, you're finished. God is not interested in you. Let's be clear about this. He says you can eat like a beast of the field, but you may not go to the altar to make offerings to him. Let's just all wake up with that thought in mind, and it'll make us grateful for the little things we have. Okay?
Does that mean like Lance Armstrong is a no-go?
No-go.
Praise the Lord.
So
okay.
If Lance Armstrong wants to make an offering to the Lord, tough titties. That's why he's been banned from sport.
And also just a broken toe.
The Lord has taken a look at Lance Armstrong and has discarded him into the pile of trash that he doesn't want praying to him, essentially.
So if I just happen to...
I found this because this was in the Bible and they used to apply this stuff during the Dark Ages verbatim, right? It was the law. This was the supreme law from God, not from men. And I just thought, you know, we don't often pay attention to these nasty parts of the Bible. People always bring up the love thy neighbor and all the good stuff, which is fair. I mean, there's some very solid, philosophically, indisputably good stuff. But we don't often pay attention to the really mean stuff God did, because we build a mystery in our heads how nice we think he might be. But remember, this is the same guy who turned, and here's another question I have. He turned Lot's wife into a pillar of salt when she looked back, remember? And she watched the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, where people were ass-fucking each other. And as she turned around and looked, because that's where sodomy comes from the town of Sodom. You didn't know that?
I was aware of this.
Okay, good. I'm just checking. You know, I thought we'd have a little religious instruction this morning because people need inspiration.
Preach.
Amen. And this woman looked back to see the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah because she obviously had friends there. and as she turned around to look, they turned her to, well, he, God turned her into a pillar of salt. And if you go to the old locations of where they think Sodom and Gomorrah were, which are on the fringes of the Dead Sea, there are actual like piles of salt, which look like there could be people. And it's interesting to me that they knew that she'd been turned into a pillar of salt, but who was the person who looked back to look at her and didn't turn into a pillar of salt? Like, who was the eyewitness who recorded that shit? Because that person had special powers. They didn't get turned into a pillar of salt. It's interesting. I'm just saying.
Too many loopholes.
Let's not forget there's plenty of mystery still in the Bible. There's lots to uncover.
If they had TikTok,
they would have made a video. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow. TikTok.
So how good are you, Jesus?
So guys, I was apparently trending on trending on TikTok on Monday and Tuesday. What? I was like number one in
really?
Southern. Yeah, and I don't even have TikTok. It was because this guy was making videos from that debate. And I was getting these screenshots of like how I was trending on TikTok. And it's so weird to be trending somewhere that you don't even know what it is.
Right.
It felt almost like there was something going on. Like I needed to look back and see the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I was very worried to look back in case I was turned into a pillar of salt, so I was tempted to go on and actually check it out, but I stopped short. In other words, I followed the will of the Lord my God, and I decided against it.
Hallowed be thy name.
Yeah.
Well, I've received a couple of messages of people asking, so like, will we see a t-shirt range coming out of this?
Yeah, I mean...
It's emotionally bankrupt on someone's chest.
I feel bad. I told you I didn't love that debate, and we haven't really discussed it much on the show for obvious reasons, because I'm not that proud of it. And some people have taken huge joy out of the way the debate went, but I found it very antagonistic and aggressive. And you know, I said Reedy actually called to like apologize for the way it had been handled, and they apologized on Twitter. And so it's all's well that ends well. But I feel kind of a little bit sorry for this guy, because Jamil, and maybe one day when the dust has settled and he's not so cross, we can get him back on. And maybe talk to him, because I don't like being that guy. But no, there will not be a range of t-shirts. And
speaking of TikTok, I don't think none of us have really fallen into the typical lockdown trends.
I heard you are all over TikTok. Is that not true?
No. I have relatively two left feet, so I won't do that to anyone dancing around. But we haven't TikToked, we haven't made banana bread, bosses pull me.
No, we haven't. We haven't fallen into any of these lockdown traps, have we?
No.
I don't think so.
Except for me in sweatpants, because now just, yeah, I can totally
I'm in sweatpants today. I'm with you.
Yeah, me too. There are certain things that as another day rolls into the next and the next, I start questioning, like, was it really necessary? Like, were shoes really necessary?
Hey, Bulelo, isn't it true that you're running out of coffee pods there?
Ah, man, it's tough.
Well, it's a sore tough point, isn't it?
Well, I'm going to have to get, like, coffee that normal people drink at just the shops.
So,
Bulelo, I can't get my stuff from Kenya.
Bulelo's a... what is he? He's like a fake egalitarian. He pretends that he thinks all people are equal, but actually he thinks he's much better than people. And it slipped out on the show the other day when he said the lower people, which I think should be a clip that we play and replay and replay every time he talks about how lefty he is. Anyway, the one thing that he is unashamedly superior about is his coffee. And he and I went shopping in the middle of lockdown because I have a permit. So I came through to the studio and we did the birthday show. And I think it was just before that he and I went to the shops and we went to the coffee section. I said, Bulelo, you're a coffee guy. This is your one like indulgence. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't take drugs, but coffee is the thing he likes. And he has, you know, a pretty superior view of what coffee is acceptable to his digestive tract. So he has this plunger and he mixes his own coffee and it's the right temperature. And, you know, he's the baristas of the world would be supremely impressed with him. Anyway, we go to Checkers, which is apparently, you know, really just very parvenu for a guy like Bulelo. So we go to the Checkers. No, you should have seen, and he was so polite about it, but I could tell he was horrified that we were shopping in Checkers for coffee, because I think he probably goes to shops where they have like two shelves with only
artisanal.
One
artisanal.
Yeah, where they have one product on the shelf and you either like it or they just the person behind the counter tells you to get out, you know, that kind of shop. So we
if you have crushed balls or a broken foot, they wouldn't let you in the type of shops where I buy coffee.
Exactly. So we're looking at the shelf and he goes, So I said, how about this one, Bulelo? Yeah. He says to me, no, well, he's not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. But the fact is, it was a grudge purchase for him. I mean, I was trying to be nice, but he just was not interested. So have you used that coffee at all, or did you just put it in the pantry for Jane to sort out later?
I was thinking of cleaning the toilet floor with it. but then I thought, oh, that's just going to create a bigger problem, because then I've got to lie about that when you're like, oh, why does the floor smell like that? So I just decided to drink it and be grateful.
But, oh, my God.
Yeah,
I don't think you were fully grateful. You're probably just gulping it down with such a horrible feeling inside of you.
I'm doing my best to be a good person, and it's like turning around the Titanic, really.
Can we just talk about something that requires an etiquette class, and that is voice notes? Because we're in the business of producing podcasts, and I've always said that any voice note that's longer than a minute is essentially a podcast. And if you're sending your friends more than a minute-long voice note, as one of my friends did the other day, and he's a good guy. I mean, I like hearing from him, but my God, to sit through a four-minute voice note, you know, and luckily I was driving at the time, so I could listen to it relatively intently. It's just a, it feels like such a long time when you're listening to a voice note like that. Rather do a podcast like and brand it that way. So here comes my podcast, and then I know what I'm in for.
Yes.
I'd like to be prepared.
Know what I'm getting myself into.
Yeah, and try to not do it where it sounds like you're doing seven other things in the background. Like, I also got this voice note yesterday from a friend of mine, and all he could do was go, "I'm so tired." Every couple of seconds, he was like breathing deeply and going, "I'm so tired." I was like, well, when you're not tired, voice note me then.
That's actually such a particular gripe, because I get exactly what you mean.
It's so annoying,
some
right?
of those people who will record a voice note in the midst of what seems like a pot minefield. It's just like clang, 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 clang.
Yeah, what's going on? Like, I don't want to be part of
in
your
between
cooking.
Words.
I'm like, if you're talking to me, just talk to me and then carry on with your cooking afterwards. And you don't need to leave 4 minutes of a voice note. Do 30 seconds and then get to your pasta or whatever it is you're making.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Oh, my God.
It's the equivalent of inviting me to lunch and being on your phone while we're at lunch.
Oh.
Like be well, here then. Or stay at home.
Right.
And
well, then those people need to just reassess their lives.
Well, it's worth thinking about. Anyway, I thought I'd drop that.
That's a good point.
Did you tell this friend of yours, like, what are you doing? What's going on here? This is too long.
No, I did. Let me read. I'll read you the actual response I gave. I think I was just a little bit annoyed because it was while we were waiting for the president. So I might have been a little bit meaner than usual.
Oh, you were not angst anyway. You're on the precipice.
So I said, "Jesus, you moan a lot."
So wait, are you talking to Jesus there or your friend?
No, this friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
Who's like,
"Jesus, comma, like, you moan a lot.
I'm so tired." Don't send me a voice note about how tired you are. So anyway, he says, "Yeah, sorry about that." So I go, "You sound like a miserable fuck, though. It's not a good thing." So he goes, "No, I'm just tired." Again, and this time in writing. Not always like that. Usually I'm very cheerful. So I go, "Yeah, just listen to those voice notes again." So I don't know if I'll be getting voice notes from that person again anytime
then
soon.
Did you end off with that message by saying, "Thanks for coming to my pep talk"?
No. No, it finished off with, "Oh, I'm going to watch the president talk now." And then that was where the communications ended.
I'm totally with you.
If he was so tired, he definitely fell asleep halfway through his talk.
I'm just assuming you are not the friend that people should run to for some emotional boosting.
You know what, Sia? You are so... You're a clairvoyant.
Talking of it, though, what did you think about the president's speech last night?
So I think he was just buying time. Like, his tone was great. Whoever helped him put that speech together, it might have been just him. I'm going to give credit where it's due. But the tone was very well received by the majority of South Africans. He knows he's dealing with a population who are on edge. So he's saying things like, "You know, we've got it wrong in some places. And where we have, we've disappointed you. And I'm sorry. And we'll try to be better." And saying those things goes a long way for some people. I mean, really, the Karens are very pleased with that, because it almost feels like he's talking to me, that kind of thing. But he didn't really tell us any substantial stuff. He was like, he was trying to take credit for the fact that the lockdown has worked, which is still, I'm sorry, but that is not necessarily true yet. We don't know. It's too close to call at this point. We may still have terrible results. And he did admit, and I appreciate this, he's like, when we start easing lockdown, then you're going to have a spike in infections, which is true. And I'm glad he acknowledged that, because otherwise people will immediately have the knee-jerk reaction that we'll come out of lockdown and people will suddenly start getting this COVID-19 and there will be more deaths. And then, you know, he'll try to backtrack, which is not the way to go. Once you decide to unlock, you unlock.
Yeah.
He
made a couple of mentions on the fact that this was a time to prepare.
Yeah.
It wasn't a time to just get the virus.
I'm not going to debate any of that stuff. I'm going to just pretend for a minute that I'll be generous as I can be and say, let's believe that he means what he says, and let's believe, which I don't do with politicians usually, any politicians, the ones in Europe, America, China, I don't usually give them this credit. But let's for a moment suspend disbelief like we would in an Avengers movie and say, okay, the guy is trying his best. And he did say we're in uncharted territory. We've never been here before, which is true. In which case, great speech. If you just wanted to like bring the nation together, let them know that you're still alive. That's cool.
Mm.
If your purpose was to actually carry across some useful information, I don't know how much of that there was. I mean, are we going to go to level three if we're in certain parts of the country where the infection rate isn't very high, but what is very high? And it'll only be at the end of May, which means another, what, 17 days of sitting on our hands in level four. I don't know. It feels like he was just buying some time, to be perfectly honest. But what else do you want from him? Like, I thought it was good that he addressed people. It's good that we saw the president because we hadn't seen him in 3 weeks. And let's see what happens. We've all got to carry on with our lives. And like I said in that last letter that I wrote, we've got to know how things are going to unfold so that we can plan our own lives, businesses, the people.
Brace for any impact.
Yeah. Look after the people that work for us and that we live with and so on. You know, the world doesn't stop just because lockdown is going ahead and bills don't stop and debit orders don't stop. And there's got to be a plan in play. So I'm not sure we got too much detail, but I wasn't expecting very much.
You know who you might like as president?
Who?
The head of the UFC, Dana White.
What did he say?
So on the weekend, you know, they got back to it. One guy tested positive who was in the arena, mm-hmm. one of the fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Sent him home. We're carrying this thing on. They had the best UFC numbers of all time.
Great.
So, and David Stern, the NBA commissioner, mm-hmm. just come out. It's like, because they're trying to explore restarting the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, listen, if we unroll this thing, if we catch one player who's like coronavirus, who's got the COVID-19,
mm-hmm.
we're not stopping. If we open it, we're going. Like, so I think that's what you're after. So basically make sports commissioners the president.
Well, let's see. Like I said, I've also said this before a couple of times, and you know, the people who don't like me are going to ignore this, but I've said I wouldn't want to be Cyril. I'm not looking
at all.
No, I'm not looking to be in politics. I wouldn't want to make these decisions. It's a horrible time to be in politics because you've got actual, you know, there are consequences to decisions now. And for the ANC,
but real life, hardcore, in your face consequences.
And for the ANC, that's a new thing. Because,
but with all due respect, no one chose the job.
I know.
Like, why people say, oh, I wouldn't want to be so.
He didn't know coronavirus was coming when he took the presidency, you know? And maybe he would have said, "Hi, I'll leave it to Kwazazana this time because I'm not interested in this shit that's coming."
Yeah, but people didn't know World War I, World War II was coming. Like, what are we talking about?
No,
he chose the job.
All right, Mbulelo, you calm down. Very
There's no sympathy.
You're irascible, Mbulelo. Look at you.
Irascible, that's a good one.
Oh, that's another word of the day.
Okay. That's a very good one. Haven't heard that in a while.
I've already Googled what parvenu is.
Oh, you like parvenu, huh?
So I like it.
You must use that word because there are a lot of people in South Africa who are very parvenu.
Now, does that just mean you're trying to come off?
It's like nouveau riche. It's like those people who order a bottle of Johnny Blue and they buy everything that's branded and wear it. It's like that. Who was the guy who Stellander Benny Abrams had lunch with?
Nduduzi Manana.
Right. That clip of him going around with his butler and his maid. Have you seen that clip?
Oh, that is so bad.
It's so bad. Well,
I tried to figure out where it came from.
Jesus, it's bad. I mean, that just shows you this guy is living way beyond his means because he's a politician. That means all that money, all of that stuff you see him with is stuff you've paid for as a taxpayer.
If it was his own... commission.
Jesus,
that bad. He thought, you know what?
He wants to
hire some cameras.
No, he wants to. He wants to make a show. He wants to make a TV show out of this. And he wants to show everybody else how vulgar his life is. And it's vulgar. He's got like a drawer with watches in it that are expensive. He's got expensive shoes. He's got this woman who works for him, this poor woman who comes up and she's like, sir, I've put out your clothes for the day. I'm like, you know, if you're Prince Charles and you've been raised like that, and you just don't know how to put out your own clothes like Prince Charles doesn't, sure, you've got an excuse to behave like someone who's that out of touch. But if you're a politician, this gives you an insight into what kind of a person he really is, you know?
But it's the epitome of parvenu.
Yes, exactly.
Properly. If that is what I aspire for in life and I created my own business or I have worked a typical 9-to-5 and I put in 20 years into this just so that I can sacrifice so much to get that life, I get it. Mm. But on the back of helping people, inverted commas.
Serving the public, yeah.
Okay.
But he's parvenu. So there's your perfect definition of parvenu is Mduduzi Manana. And there are so
many. The parvenu
many,
and the poor.
They're the same people that Pumi addressed the other day when she said that they haven't necessarily spent money on the things that really matter. They've spent money on the things that they can show their friends they've done well with. It's weird. I mean, like, people have got such bizarre priorities in life. Anyway, we've got to get to some headlines, people. Are you ready?
All right, the people got to know.
The people have got to know. So we'll start with something from ENCA. the news there saying that the Water and Sanitation Department is lifting the lid on corruption and maladministration within its ranks. That's probably just as well, because if you have corruption in water, we all get sick, right?
Yeah, we don't want to be Michigan.
No. Yeah, Flint, Michigan. Exactly. Yep. They're probing close to 300 of the officials in the Department of Water for looting taxpayers' money in cases that go back as far as 2013. Minister Lindiwe Sisulu says, guess how much money has gone down the drain? If you'll pardon the pun of using the drain in the water.
Excellent pun. I'm going to guess 150 billion.
How much?
No, that's too much.
Okay.
Department,
15 billion.
Very good. 16 billion. You're almost exactly on the money. I'm going to put you, you're in charge of, you're the Nostradamus of corruption. Your first guess is always wrong, but your second guess is really good.
I've always had a thing for corrupt numbers. I don't know what it is.
That's your new job. Bulelo Tinta, Minister of Nostradamus of Corruption. Not Minister.
Just a knack for it.
All right, so 15 to 16 billion rand has gone down the drain in corruption in the Department of Water and Sanitation. That's phenomenal. Wow. That's a huge amount of money. See, if I gave you 15 billion rand, do you realize that would make you easily one of the richest people in South Africa overnight? I mean, you'd be in the top 10.
You're in the 1 percentile in the world. $1 billion.
Billion rand. So yeah, 15 billion rand is $1 billion. You're like, you're a dollar billionaire.
You're in the 1 percentile.
That's phenomenal money. That's been stolen. Cecilia says her department now wants to recover the money and wants those implicated charged. Good. Thank you, Minister. We give government huge shit on this show when they don't do what they're meant to do. Minister Lindiwe Sisulu, I have not taken you seriously as a politician so far. I think that you only got the job because of your family name. But now, if you see this through, ma'am, I will be a massive supporter of yours to the end. But do it. Please don't just say it. Charge these people, these motherfuckers who've stolen public money. Several officials have been placed on suspension. That means we're still paying them, unfortunately. But the people who were involved in the implementation of irregular expenditure have been charged, she said. Some have been dismissed. Some have been given 3-month suspensions without pay. They say the amounts involved are staggering and the department needs support from National Treasury and Parliament. Well, Minister Lindiwe Sisulu, if this is your statement of intent, and maybe you want to run for president next, that's, I'm smelling something in the water, if you'll pardon that pun again. But if you are trying to run for president, this is a great place to start. Find these people and lock them up. And most importantly, get that money back so that ordinary, poor South Africans who you keep promising to give water, who turn on their taps at the moment and get nothing out. Let's fix that for those people with that 16 billion that we get back. Please. I will be your biggest fan and cheerleader. I mean it. Let's do this.
Yeah. I hope more people hold her accountable for statements like this. And let's actually make some change happen.
Would be nice, huh?
Make that change.
That's it. Finance Minister Tito Mboweni is set to table an adjusted budget on the 24th of June. The emergency budget makes provision for COVID-19 relief efforts. Treasury's published special adjustment budget guidelines, which include deadlines for departments to make submissions on their adjustment budgets. President Cyril Ramaphosa announced last month, that government would provide $500 billion in fiscal support to COVID-19 priorities. Of this amount, 130 billion rand was to be reprioritized from the national budget. Treasury says the other adjustments not included will be tabled in the October adjustment budget. Okay, so that's something to look forward to.
I've always thought to myself, What does Tito think when he's sitting with some of these, I'm not going to use the word I want to call some of these people, but what do you think he thinks when he hears them talking about economy? When, you know, do you think he's just thinking, maybe I should give them some of my weed from my farm? Because what you're talking now, like, what do you think's going through his mind? Have you ever thought about Tito's position?
I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you what thoughts and what's in his soul. I don't know what he's up to there.
Oh, he must be furious.
I don't know, dude. I just don't think he's. I think he's trying to do a job, because I do get the impression from him that he's an honest man. And I've met Tito Mboweni. I've told you before on the show, I'm biased in his favor. So I'm not going to surmise what's in the man's head, but it must be, it's like when you're working with idiots, and a lot of us have had jobs in the past where we've worked with morons, and you look around the table and you hear people talking just complete shit. And you just, I mean, we've had it with, you know, there are meetings where I just want to get the hell out of there. You're not going to be rude to people's faces. But you can just tell that they are amateurs at what they do.
I have morons in my family. I'm not ashamed to say it. It's painful.
But you wouldn't say it to them, right? You suffer them through Christmas and then you move on.
Quite right.
Yeah. So I think that's what he's doing. Herman Mashaba has revealed plans for a new political party. You know, I love Herman Mashaba. We had him on not so long ago. And he, again, you don't have to agree with his political ideology necessarily, but the man has at least the experience of trying to fix an administration in Joburg. And I know Canton Pillay, who joins us later on today for the Burning Platform, is not a big fan of Herman Mashaba, but I get, just like I do from Tito, I get the impression from this guy that, you know, he doesn't have to do this. He's made lots of money, and he made that money the hard way. He doesn't have to be in politics. He's doing it because he genuinely cares and he's concerned about the direction this country's heading in. So he resigned from the DA, remember? And he says he's ready to go back in. He's launching a political party in August and he plans to contest next year's local government elections. Now, again, you can say what you want. You can be concerned about the ambition of a man like Herman Mashaba. But if you're willing to gamble in the local politics arena, chances are you're honest. Because there isn't glory there. You're not going to be president, get a blue light brigade, you know, cushy government perks. Local government's about delivery. And if he says he wants to get into local government, well, that is brave. That means he genuinely cares about people. Because local government, there's no glory. It's all about where the rubber hits the road. So let's see what happens. And as I've said before, I liked his letter when he wrote a letter like 2 weeks ago. And he called the cabinet a bunch of geriatric Stalinists.
Good Lord.
I thought that was really good. So let's see. Herman Mashaba about to enter the political arena again. Very exciting. The BBC are reporting that children affected by a rare inflammatory reaction, a number of children have been diagnosed with a disease which can cause symptoms similar to toxic shock syndrome. Up to 100 kids in the UK have been affected. Some have needed intensive care while others recovered quickly. This was prompted by 8 children becoming ill in London, including a 14-year-old who died. Now, you know what? These are not numbers that should have everybody jumping up and down and frightening themselves. Let's just be calm about this. But it does sound like there are things they're investigating at the moment. Doctors said all 8 children had similar symptoms when they were admitted to the Evelina Children's Hospital in London, including high fever, rash, red eyes, swelling, and general pain. Most of the kids had no major lung or breathing problems, although 7 were put in a ventilator to help improve heart and circulation issues. Doctors are describing it as a new phenomenon, similar to Kawasaki disease, which is a rare condition that mainly affects children under the age of 5.
Kawasaki sounds dangerous.
Yeah. So, you know what's going to happen is people who are especially nervous are going to start going, oh my God, my kids are going to get coronavirus. This is a much more devastating strain. I'm going to panic, but let's just wait because this is, please. I mean, like, we don't have enough data, right? Okay.
Plus, getting a Kawasaki motorbike is more dangerous than this.
Yeah. How did we get there?
I agree with you. Goldman Sachs. I've always got a little bit of a suspicious eyebrow raised when Goldman Sachs issues a warning about U.S. unemployment. But Goldman Sachs, well known for being, you know, the realists when it comes to the economy, certainly the American economy. The unemployment rate in the U.S. will peak at 25%, rivaling the worst period in the Great Depression, according to them. It's gone to 14.7% in April, as the economy lost more than 20 million jobs during self-imposed shutdown. Economists at Goldman Sachs downgraded their labor market forecast to assume that more workers will lose their jobs and the largest share of them will be classified as unemployed. They recently projected the unemployment rate would peak at 15%, but the new forecasts are based on government statistics, the first glimpse of the reopening process, and new big data sources. So it could get to 25%. Unemployment in the U.S. And you know what that means for us, right?
We'll catch the cold from them sneezing.
That's it. The corona cold. The Roro. Is that what they're calling it?
Hey, I'm done with Miss Roro now.
Are you still hearing Cardi B going, coronavirus?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. That's time.
I'm surprised she didn't can you trademark the term coronavirus?
She could.
Yeah, she could be making more money off it now.
Okay, so I want to tell you about something, and I've never done this on the show before. So it's still an idea, right? It's on paper, but let me give you an idea of this. We are going to launch a new podcast series, which I think is going to be really helpful, interesting, practical, and it may be exactly what we need. And I'm just going to say this because, as I said, I've never done this on the show before. We are looking for the right sponsor to get behind this thing because, you know, we like all other businesses, are going through a tough time right now. I mean, we're looking at, you know, how much is in the bank and kind of how long we can survive on that for. And there's not a huge amount of business out there, and we're working extra hard to keep these shows coming. And if you are one of those people who makes a decision around marketing budgets, this could be precisely the answer to your question. It could be a sensitive, sensible way of addressing what people are most interested in right now, which is, what now? You know, what do we do with this coronavirus pandemic and what it's doing to the economy, to people's jobs, and what it's doing to people's lives? So we're starting this new series, and I'm just going to say we're looking for the right sponsor. And if you think this could be you, then listen up. The coronavirus pandemic has swept the planet, leading to global lockdowns and extraordinary changes to all of our lives. Now, podcasting and video have grown exponentially during this time, and people are hungrier than ever for information, for inspiration, for entertainment, which is what we do. The new normal is all anybody's talking about, and we need to innovate accordingly. Now, virtually everything that defines us has been turned inside out and upside down, regardless of our gender, age, politics, religion, cultural or sexual persuasion, or our economic status, frankly. CliffCentral.com has seen a doubling in our listenership during this last 2 months. Doubled. We were doing well enough already before Corona. But our numbers are skyrocketing because people have more time to listen to podcasts and they don't trust the mainstream media. So I would really like to find the right sponsor, find the right organization, a corporation, a small business, whoever it is. If you have the desire to get involved in this, it could be the best thing you would do to maintain and occupy a thought leadership position, to hear from the best people. Because what we want to do is And we haven't come up with a name yet. It could be What Now? We're still working on that as a title. But diversity of thought is the most valuable thing you could expose yourself to when nobody knows the answers. Right, Mbulelo?
100%.
Now, we're going to find the most creative, the smartest, left and right of center thinkers. We're going to find characters who have bizarre ideas. Some of these are going to strike you as strange, but they may just contain answers for the direction we're heading in as a world. And I want to open our minds, prepare us for change, which is really the only thing you can be sure of. So we're going to put together a new podcast series in which I am going to talk to thought leaders, opinion makers, alternate voices, and people who don't think like you and me. These are not just going to be interviews. This is going to be about the new way we've got to think. And great minds don't always think alike. And I would like to invite those great minds internationally and locally to share this stuff with us. So if it sounds like something you or your company would like to get behind, then contact me, gareth@cliffcentral.com, because we'll put it together with you. You know, it doesn't have to be something that you just brought to you by. It can be something that we are involved with together. And I'm only putting this on the show because I know that I can speak frankly with anyone who listens to us. If you want to get involved in this, you can get hold of me, gareth@cliffcentral.com. Email me today. And we'll put you at the top of the list. And we can explore it. I mean, I don't know how much budget you might have. You might want to get involved with a few of these. You might want to get involved with a whole series. We might have to work out a rollout plan. We might put the topics together. There's lots that we can do. So please, join us. And if you're interested, get hold of me. I think I'd very much like to hear from you. All right, Nobile, who we've had on the show before so many times, and we love hearing from him. Nobile, it's nice to hear from you, man. I got an email from Nobile about he'd like to know if we're still taking Skype calls. So I suppose this answers that question, right? You've got to unmute your microphone, dude.
Yeah, that definitely does answer the question. So thanks for that.
All right, then you carry on. You say, besides that, I wanted to say I was unplugged from the media when lockdown started, and just focusing on the important stuff, but the past 2 weeks, I've really dived deep into the international debate. So you wanted to bring up some stuff around COVID and 5G. There's this conspiracy bullshit going on, right? So you start with that. You don't believe in that stuff, because I don't even want to have a conversation if you do.
Yeah. You see, it really infuriates me, but I know people always think of me as a conspiracy-minded human being. There is a thing called disinformation. Excuse me, everyone. There is a thing called disinformation whereby in intelligence communities, you put out the truth with largely fake news in order to discredit whoever's the sender of it.
Right. But so, basically bullshit, like we've discussed before.
Yes. So this whole 5G thing... where people say 5G creates corona, that is, in my opinion, fake news created to cause real health concerns, questions about COVID alone or 5G alone. Like, these are two separate entities. They have nothing to do with each other. So I hate that people conflate that.
All right. So the other thing you wanted to discuss was something about that debate that I was in the other day. So go ahead. What is it you want to bring up?
You see, look, I like that you really did not hold back your punches, Gareth, with, I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name. A colleague of mine told me it's Chamila. Oh, I forgot. Anyways, that particular individual, when you spoke to him, I like that you didn't hold anything back. But what I felt like you could have driven even more home is when you were talking about poor people. And I think that's where, when I showed the debate to my other colleagues, they actually loved your response, but they felt like you were coming a bit too, let's say, what's it entitled? I understand you're not, but you came off in that state whereby they felt like when that person talked about poor people, you didn't say, listen here, we are actually harming more poor people by keeping them confined, like you mentioned, in that one room shack. That is a death of a person. It may not be via COVID, but it's a death of a person for not going and getting a living.
All right. So you wanted to improve the debate. I understand. I mean, dude, there's probably a lot I could have said. It happened so fast. And I agree with you. Who are the people who can speak on behalf of the poor? Because as far as I can tell, none of these academics and ordinary members of the middle class really have any right to speak on behalf of anyone unless they've been given a mandate. And it seems that part of what made that debate controversial, at least from their point of view, is that I had somehow appointed myself, which I didn't. I wrote an open letter to the president as Gareth. And when I said we, I mean, like, you know, there's a percentage of South Africans. It could be poor people, could be rich people. I don't know. But there are people who agree with me. That's for sure, because now it's starting to all come out. People are very much opposed to this lockdown in increasing numbers. So I wasn't making it up. And I also wasn't appointing myself as a spokesperson for poor people. But who do you think, Nobile, can speak on behalf of poor people? And who has that agency? And why do we never ask poor people themselves? Why is it always some middle-class motherfucker who's got, like, something to say about the poor? Huh?
You know what? Okay, let me first answer the last one. What I've realized is you always have, for lack of a better term that I like to use, Captain Save-A-Ho. So you always get Captain Save-A-Ho. always around.
Yeah.
And always wants to save the day. So I'm sure people in the hip-hop community always know Drake as Captain Save-A-Ho. So in this case, it's all these, I don't want to say left-wing, because you know what, I'm a type of person, if you ever look at the political compass, I'm in the middle of the road. I'm just centrist, because I do realize great things in the left and the right. So to call them leftists, I don't think it's good. Rather call them those ideologues of Michel Foucault. Because they really are the worst, where they feel people like Jamil, them, I know they intend to do good. Like, I'm not going to attribute malice to them.
I agree.
But
I think they're trying to be compassionate, right? Compassion is a major driving force for a lot of people who have these ideologies, and I understand that.
As a lefty, I can't believe I just heard us mention Foucault. Wow.
Yeah, let's not talk about Foucault too much. I don't put a huge amount of intellectual store in that nonsense. But I hear you, Nobile, to not interrupt you. They're basically compassionate people. Carry on.
No problem. Yeah, so the problem is, those types of people, to say it shortly, is that we get people who feel, because they have reached a certain level of their lives where they are comfortable, they feel like they need to help other people. It's that mentality of philanthropists who feel like in order for them to feel satisfied with their own lives, they need to help other people.
And a part of that is guilt. Let's not mess around, right? Part of it is, I feel bad about the fact that my life is so much better than someone else's.
But it's not your fault. But all in all, everyone should speak for poor people. And poor people can speak about rich people. In fact, anyone can speak about anything. That's the whole point of freedom of speech. Unfortunately, South Africa doesn't have freedom of speech, to my surprise. But I feel like it's anyone can speak about it. You, Garrett, can speak about poor people. If you observe an observable truth that is undeniable, why can't you speak about it just because you happen to be well off? No one is barred from 3 years. So if you, Garrett, are picking up that, look, more poor people are not working now and therefore starving more, therefore going to die or suffer even more from COVID lockdown restrictions, is that sound? It's something that's observable that anyone can see. So why do you have to say, oh, you're rich, you're privileged, you can't talk? That's nonsense.
Yeah.
No, you know?
I think we're on the same page there. And look, it wasn't an ideal discussion by any means. I totally agree with you there. But and that's why I'm not in a hurry to do it again. But I think some important points were uncovered. I like that you want to give feedback to both sides.
Yeah. But one thing that I felt like people like yourself in the alternative media, because I've only seen this in alternative media, is discuss more. Like I said, I haven't really gone on through all the podcasts, so forgive me if you have touched it before, but I will look at it. But like the medical part, because you see yesterday, or should I say last night, President Ramaphosa is talking about lockdown more and easing restrictions. I'm still baffled. How do they have a right to tell me where to move still? Like, or, to me, I'm still trying to...
Or whether you're whether you're allowed to go out and earn your daily bread.
Or the fact that I can wear a mask or not wear a mask. It is, what happened to my inalienable rights? What happened to my choice of doing... I know it's hard. I know that people want to take care of their mothers who are elderly and fathers and children, but the fact is, medically, and that's where the medical science can come in. We have doctors like Dr. Bacardi in Germany, and Wolfgang Woddard. Like, not just them, those two doctors in America who had millions of views where their videos were taken down, where they were pointing out medical discrepancies that the officials are using as justification for COVID in order to maintain this lockdown.
Well, you see, Mobile, you're really talking about the series that I want to launch.
Oh, okay.
When you came on, because... this is exactly the stuff that we want to explore. And I think only a foolish person trusts the experts who keep getting it wrong over and over again. We need to look at alternative ideas, alternative voices, and not go down the path of like bald, obvious, stupid conspiracy theory. But we need to explore things that may give us answers that up to now we have been ignorant of. And I love this. So I hope we can launch this series soon. And we'll keep you informed. But thanks again for your call, man.
Appreciate you guys.
And
thanks.
You can always email me. We'll always put you on.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks,
right,
guys.
Thanks very much. All right. There's Mobile, who sent me an email. You can do that too. Gareth@cliffcentral.com. Are you excited about the burning platform today?
Oh, yeah. What do we have? What's lined up?
Well, let me tell you what we've got today, because Canton Pillay joins us as always, and we will be joined by a man who's also been going viral on social media recently. He's not a big social media dude, but he does present some really interesting research and some empirical observation from the inside of the political parties in South Africa, an analysis of the story, the long story, the context of where we are and what we're doing and what the biggest threats are to people's liberties in this country. He deals with issues that the rest of us try not to bring up at dinner parties. His name is Dr. Franz Cronier. He is the CEO of the Institute of Race Relations. And if you've ever seen a presentation by Franz Cronier, you will know that the man, in the most objective sense, tries to give an accurate picture of what is going on at a policy level. He's one of the most lucid thinkers in South Africa, and I find every single thing he says to be extremely valuable in being able to put my picture of the world together with respect to South Africa. I think we will all benefit from listening to him. He's coming up next. He's presented scenarios concerning South Africa's long-term economic and political prospects. More than 100 corporations he's spoken to, government departments, foreign governments, political parties. He has got a PhD in scenario planning and absolutely is one of the smartest people that we have in this country. So we'll speak to Franz Cronier. He may not paint a rosy picture, but he will not lie to you. That's what we've got next in the Burning Platform. So you need to sit tight and get ready for that. It's going to be a very interesting ride. That's coming up next. The Burning Platform, as you know, is brought to you every week by Nando's. And this morning will be, I'm just looking at the meter here with the peri peri chili right next to it. And it says, it says very hot. So get ready. All right. That's what's going to come up in your podcast next on cliffcentral.com. You can get hold of us if you would like to, and whether it's something to do with that new series that we're launching and you want to get your business involved in it, gareth@cliffcentral.com, or you can just email us about the show or anything else that's going on in your mind.
cliffcentral.com.